Hello everyone, welcome to the Welly Sport Podcast, the first in our series of these, and something that we've been trying to put together for a while, so we'll see how this first one goes. Just as it is our first one, I'll sort of outline our aim of the podcast is always going to be to try and provide some interesting conversation related to sport, and hopefully have a guest from the world of sport to talk to us. The normal form will be that there'll be one staff member interviewing. So today you've got me, Mr. Pratt, for those people who can't recognise my voice. And my role here is Assistant Director of Sport. And we've got two pupils as well today on board. So I'll introduce the pupils first and then we'll get to our guest. So first up, Cassius, do you want to introduce yourself and just give a little bit of your sporting background to the listeners?
So I'm Cassius. I'm in the Hill in Upper Six. This year I was a first team rugby player. That's about as far as my sporting high level ability went for the school, although I once scored a century for JC3's cricket and got three rebounds in a basketball game for the school.
So nice. I love it that you got the cricket mention there, Cass. Well done. And our other pupil interviewer today is Poppy Dutton. So, Poppy, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure thing. So, I'm Poppy. I'm in the Wellesley in Off 6. My main sport is netball. I've been playing for a long time. I started off playing in a lot of county teams in Australia. And then when I moved back to England, obviously came to Wellington. Netball's been pretty good here. Played my first match for the first team in fifth form, which was pretty good. Went to regionals, which was good. But yeah, as same as Cass, not much else other than...
Poppy, I thought you were going to say same as Cass that you scored a century as well.
Unfortunately, not. I don't have that to boast about.
Maybe in the future. Cool. Thank you. So there are interviews today. And then our guest for today is from the world of S&C, a new member of the Wellington community from this year, Mr. Toby Williamson, the head of strength and conditioning at Wellington College. Hello, Mr. Williamson. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I missed most of that intro because my internet paused.
Oh, you missed all the highlights of the introductions.
Yeah, I got from the world of S and then it froze and then how are you? And I assumed you were talking to me.
Well, I said from the world of strength and conditioning and then introduce you as our head of strength and conditioning. Hopefully all things that you knew about yourself already.
Cool. Yeah, just about.
So before I hand over to Cass, just that brief background, and Mr. Williamson obviously joined us this year and has full oversight of the strength and conditioning program for all the pupils within the college, and also has some involvement with things like Inspire Days with future pupils coming in. So the whole oversight of the physical development side of things, and hopefully we'll have a bit of a conversation about what that work looks like today. So with that in mind, Cass, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, so obviously, sir, I know you're a talented CrossFitter and you were a talented rugby player back in your day, only to be held back by injury. Only if you could tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so I pretty much played every single sport going under the sun, particularly in school. So I grew up in North Devon, so there were literally 65 kids in my whole primary school and then about 500, 600 kids in my secondary school. So you kind of just played every single sport for every single team that was going in the school. And then from there, my whole family's pretty much hockey and rugby orientated. And my brother was playing rugby as well. So I thought I'd join in on that and then end up playing locally until got to about Colts and then started playing representative and Barnstable. So National 3 and National 2 rugby. But yeah, as I said, I broke a lot, which is I'll probably get around to later as to why I came into the world of S&C. So it's something that I didn't have growing up. And now I look back now and it's probably something that would I have had so many injuries and X, Y, and Z when I was playing if I'd had S&C or some kind of provision or something like that. And then when I moved up to this area around Wellington about 5 years ago, I decided to stop playing rugby and compete in weightlifting and CrossFit because I managed to just not break as much doing that. So it was a bit more positive, really. And obviously that goes pretty much hand in hand with my job. So they kind of fed from one to the other, that love of rugby and playing, but frustration at being broken all the time. Led me into the world of S&C, and that led me into CrossFit and weightlifting, really.
Cool. And then your background in S&C, Mr. Williamson, sort of in terms of educational, and then your, I guess, your pathway to Wellington, what did that look like?
So I originally started off, obviously I was playing a lot of sport, and then when I went to college, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. So I went down the sports performance route purely because it ticked most of the boxes for me academically as well. And whilst I was on that course, one of the lecturers on there, who I also played rugby with, opened the gym. And so just through conversations with him, and obviously we were doing coaching roles within our sports performance course, I started to realise it was something I was really interested in and something I enjoyed. So whilst he opened the gym, I took on a load of, I guess you can call it, internal volunteer work with him, just helping out with sessions and things like that. And then on the side, he let me start personal training whilst I was in there. And it grew from there, really. The more I worked with him, the more I realized I enjoyed it. And like I said, realized it was something that maybe I felt I missed out on. So it was a good opportunity for me to give back or help maybe where that I didn't necessarily have it when I was younger. So then from there, I kind of made the decision that, yes, this is something I want to do. So I did, I think it was level 3 strength and conditioning at college. But kind of being in the North Devon area, as limited, let's say, opportunities, I wish you utilize that. Yeah, it's all nice trying to implement it as a personal trainer, but at the end of the day, a lot of people aren't there for the same reasons that, say, sports performance or high performing athletes are. And the more I did it, the more I realized that's what I wanted to do. So I made a decision to go to university up in Twickenham. And fortunately, whilst I'm up here, another lecturer of mine, he owns a strength conditioning company up here. So I came on board with Nathan and NK Fitness. And then as that's grown whilst I was at university, so I was co-owning NK Fitness and doing a lot of the strength and conditioning. So Marlow Rowing Clubs, I had a major role in. Well, I actually now oversee their program for their juniors alongside a lot of our youth athletes and our individual athletes. And I've been fortunate enough to work with some teams, had some time at Charlton Athletic, which was quite cool to get into that big environment. But all the time this was happening, I realized that it was actually the youth side of things that I enjoyed the most. So that fresh excitement around sport and performance, and as opposed to, oh great, we're already in a pro club, look at me, I'm a pro player. Not that they've all got that attitude, but for me, I felt I could make the biggest difference in a school or in youth clubs or youth performance. And then obviously the role at Wellington came up. There's Mr. Mancuso, who is an avid CrossFitter. He'll be happy if I mention his name. And McDonald. Yes, I got to know them, and the role came up at Wellington, and I jumped at the chance, really. It was something that I couldn't pass up the opportunity to come and work with all you guys.
I mean, before I sort of, if Cass or Poppy have got questions to lead on, I can't not let the comments about Mr. Mancuso and Mr. McDonald go. Obviously, I'm sure the listeners and the pupils will want to know who's the strongest in the gym out of those two. Poppy, who do you reckon, if you were going to have a guess?
I'm not going to lie, every time I'm there, Mr. McDonald just sort of sits there. I don't see him too much. He's
there. So Mr. McDonald's always there, but it doesn't do anything.
That does sum up what my answer would be to that.
He just sits there and kind of talks to people and just like laughs at you.
Yeah, he gives a lot of chat.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll stay no comment on that.
Oh, you stay neutral. Very, very diplomatic, that, Mr. Williamson. Very diplomatic.
Obviously, you mentioned like a lot of your injuries and stuff. Was there ever like a point where you just sort of thought like, oh, what's the point, or you didn't feel like you were part of the team or something like that? You just sort of felt low, and like, how did that make you feel and things like that?
Yeah, so I think the worst one, so I was pretty unlucky. So I got knocked out 5 times in one season, or by halfway point. And on the last one, it took me 7 weeks to pass my return to play or return to train. So I couldn't train. I did nothing for 7 weeks, and I couldn't even pass the balance tests. So that was pretty bad. So we made the decision that I was going to stop for the rest of the season or the foreseeable future, which is pretty hard to stomach. I think I was 19 or 20 at the time, and being told that, no, you're not allowed to, you're going to have to stop whether you'll play again. So actually a year and a half out of rugby. And then on my return, so I came back 2 years later, I'd been travelling, and my glorious return in a home game, I tore my hamstring in the last play of the warm-up.
Oh my God.
I got carried off in front of all of our home fans on my return to National 2 rugby. And then following that, I tore each hamstring 2 more times in the same season. So that was...
Bit of a glutton for either getting knocked out or tearing a hamstring.
Yeah, exactly. So it was pretty, I'd say, the first hamstring tear, I returned after 2 years, I can literally still remember to this day sitting in the physio room, and obviously the physios had to go back out because the match was starting. And so I was just left sat underneath the stands in the physio room, head in hand sort of moment. So that was pretty... pretty bad, but then again, really was the final click in terms of, right, there's obviously something not right here. What is it? And eventually, when you sit down and look at it, I realized that I had no hamstrings, no back, no glute muscles at all, and had avoided anything that revolved around exercise for those for the last 4 years. I probably should say as well that I prolapsed the disc when I was 16. So in my head, anything like, yeah, I know. Like, and for me, in my head, before I knew anything like squatting or deadlifting or weights was like, oh, I'm not going to do that because of my back. And then if you look at all the injuries that I occurred later on, that through lack of having any strength through my back, through my hamstrings and everything, they're arguably part and parcel as to why I got injured so much. And since I came around to that realization, like I haven't had any back or pain or anything like that since we've been addressing those problems for, well, like I say, that was probably when I was 21, 22 when the hamstrings were. And since that point, fortunately, I've been able to attack it and approach with the right mindset and the right approach to S&C and all of that. Must have been younger than that, but yeah, so that's sort of the way that those injuries led me into, oh right, actually don't avoid it, maybe I should look into this, and it turns out it's actually pretty good for you.
So that obviously one of the main drivers there, it seems, and sort of one of your beliefs S&C wise, is that the power of sort of that physical training to make you kind of robust and protect against injuries. I'm just wondering, kind of like from your perspective, so he's talking about working with youth athletes, and obviously we had a conversation before this, and you referenced sort of Poppy and Cass being pretty good trainers from this year. I'm just thinking, sort of from your perspective, with injury prevention being one, what are the other features which you think S&C's sort of big for in terms of youth athlete development?
Yeah, I think like the biggest thing for me is to get all of the people that I work with to play their sport. That's the end goal. I want you guys, I want Poppy, you to spend as much time on court. I want Cash, you to spend as much time on pitch. And if I can make you as robust and resilient to all of those things as a first port of call, then that's where I'm going to. We can do all the fancy stuff after, but if what we're doing isn't making a difference to whether you stay on the pitch, I don't care if you've got 200 kilo back squat, because it's irrelevant to helping you actually play your sport. So for me, build the foundations of what's going to keep you on the pitch, and then we can, okay, now let's try and make you as dynamic when you're on there. So it's kind of builds in those layers for me, that resilience and robustness. And with that, you can't get that if you can't move well. And if you can't move well, okay, well, I'm not going to let you move fast. So for me, it all layers up. First of all, we've got how are we going to keep you on the pitch? Right, we're going to build these strong foundations. Right now, we've got these strong foundations. Okay, now I can start looking at you as an athlete. Where are your gaps? Where are your holes? What are the things that I'm going to be able to attack to actually get the most out of you? But yeah, so do no harm and keep them on the pitch is the lying rule for me. And then take that fairy dust and put it on the things that I know are going to make the biggest difference for those people or those sports, really.
Nice. And I'll pass back to Poppy in a second. Just one more from me. I think that feeds in really nicely with what you said there. And obviously you've been involved this year with some of the sort of the physical testing we've done as part of the Inspire Days and trying to help pupils that come to Wellington develop physically, so that I guess when they leave, do you think that you can sort of, the aim for pupils when they're leaving is probably to be ready to train in those sort of more professional environments, if you think about sort of maybe top university sport, top national club based sport, potentially professional contracts for some pupils? Do you think that's kind of the end goal of a school program?
Yeah, definitely. I think like it's a slow burner. Strength and conditioning is a slow burner, and I want all of these guys are hopefully going to train for the rest of their life. So there's no point in, like I say, as well, starting off super, super hot and let's get you to a 200 kilo back squat or whatever it is. I'm just using that as the example. I would much prefer it if someone came in and through journey, or this how I envisage it and my approach to it, is that from when a pupil or an athlete sees me, whatever their level of knowledge is, when they leave me, I want them to be in a state where they can almost be autonomous.
Yeah,
it's great having me there and I can be the benefit, but I also want them to be able to go out into a different environment where they might have coaches, they might not, and be able to understand what, why, and how they're going to achieve what they need to within strength and conditioning. Not just, oh, I come in, I read my program, and I sort of do it. I want them to be able to look at it and go, okay, cool, we're doing this, oh, we're doing this. So again, wherever they go, wherever they move on to from Wellington, they can have that big foundation of this is what I've set in place to let me play my sport, and I understand why, I understand what, and I understand how I'm going to get there. Then you're already ticking 4 out of 5 boxes for whatever environment you move on to, particularly if it's that high performance sport. If you can go in there as an athlete and be like, oh, no, I know what these things are. I know what we're doing. I get it. I understand it. You've immediately got so much more buy-in with your coaches, and that relationship between you and your S&C coach, you and your sports coach. And it just, I think, makes it a much smoother transition for you to move forward with your, like, your performance career. Again, you can focus on playing your sport in those places because you haven't got to go and learn, oh, this is how they want me to set up the rack, or they want me to do something strange in my program. You know what you're doing and why.
So another question we were wondering is sort of, do you have maybe like a favorite moment in your sports at school, or like, as you're saying, you've played lots and lots of different sports at your school. Was there one that was unusual but maybe caught you by surprise?
Oh, wow. If I count what would be sixth form for you, if I count college, I ended up coaching tag rugby in Romania, which was quite unexpected. And then as a result of that, ended up being a tour leader to coach tag rugby. So I've been to Zambia 4 times now to coach, and Romania twice. So that was something that came out of sport that I wasn't expecting. Played loads of different stuff. How hard netball is? One of them.
So we used to
play, when I was at school, we played year 11 netball versus, so all the boys played, our football team actually played against staff in year 11 girls netball every other week. And that was pretty humbling, let's say.
Cass, did you play the rugby versus the girls, the netball game? Were you involved in that?
Yeah.
How did that go?
be involved.
I won't accept defeat given the scoreline. I'm taking it as a win, no matter what way it comes.
Well, a moral victory is it.
Yeah, I managed to stay on the pitch for 40 minutes and get the ball in the hoop once, so I'm proud of myself.
How do you sum up your performance, Cass? Well, I got the ball in the hoop.
Oh, yeah. It's the end of the game. It's the end of the game.
True. Very true.
I do enjoy the fact that, Mr. Williamson, you there went from the favourite moment of sport at school became a... that sport had given you the opportunity to travel. It sounds like my cricketing background as well, that I got to a point of realising I wasn't good enough, but it meant I could go to nice, warm, sunny countries.
Pick it. It's like I'll play rugby sevens over 15s. It's much nicer weather to play rugby sevens than it is 15s.
I'm not sure those hamstrings will take rugby sevens, will they?
No, probably not. That's true.
Yeah, we were also wondering if you had any influences growing up. What sort of, obviously you said your siblings got you into sport. Any celebrities or anyone near you that got you into sport?
I've been pretty lucky in that sport for me has been something that's always been there. So mum and dad were hugely into sport. They both played hockey to a high level. Dad played hockey for Cambridge, actually. He ended up being a Cambridge Blue, two or three varsities, I think. I just followed him through most things in life, to be honest. So that was into rugby as well. Fittingly enough for this podcast, probably one of the biggest influences I had in my life was the head of PE. So I went to a school called South Molton, and Andrew Finney was head of PE. He's now actually the principal, and he's done fantastic things for the school, and I still go back and see him every now and then when I get an opportunity. So he had a huge influence on me in terms of doing what I enjoy, but if I enjoy it, work hard at it so I can make it something that I get to enjoy for, and it seems to be working out that way for the rest of my life. And like I say, that and working, having a lecturer and a best mate who opened the gym, and then coming up and now working and co-owning a company with another one of my lecturers kind of paints the picture of those involved in sport in my life. I've been very, very fortunate that they've given me the advice and the opportunities that I've ended up with. But yeah, Andrew, Mr. Finney from South Molton is probably the first main influence on me in terms of sport and career.
And I think that's probably not uncommon, is it? Like I'll ask you two guys the same question. I mean, how often sort of would most of us look back on the things we now do, particularly on a sporting front and maybe in life in general, we do them because first of all, we really enjoy them. And then that maybe if you're lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time to see it kind of develop into a career and things like that, then even better. And I presume, Poppy, you probably got into netball because you had a family member, a friend or someone like that who played?
Ironically, no.
The exact opposite. I'm at all. I know nothing.
Sorry, I let you down there. But no, not really. I was kind of forced into playing. I'd never played before. And my friend was just like, oh, come over, come and just hang around and like maybe you can learn how to play. And I was kind of like, oh, okay. And I had grown up with two older brothers, so I was kind of always in the football sort of group. And then netball, known as like the sort of lesser of the basketball, actually ended up to be quite fun and it was good. So
it was fun eventually, just to clarify, like you were forced to do it to start with, but eventually it did become fun.
I was definitely forced to do it because you had to wear a skirt rather than shorts. So I wasn't a fan of that. But it was good after all, and it's good. It's good team sport. So.
And Casper, presumably, despite your moral victory on the netball court, your first sport in life, was that rugby? And was that sort of, who was your influence there?
So rugby wasn't my first sport. I was a footballer as a kid. My talents then transferred over to rugby quite well. I sort of gained my coordination from football, and then I grew, and then rugby became quite enjoyable. So then that's just then everything sort of fell into place from there. Like Toby said, I had a really strong influence of my prep school rugby coach. And yeah, it just taught a lot of values through sport. So yeah, everything sort of fell into place from there.
Do you have any sort of advice that you'd give to your past self?
Yeah, definitely. I'm bad for overthinking. And I've learned a lot more now that just to trust with what I initially instantly believe or feel around the situation or something like that. Okay, yeah, it's great to think about it, but once I've made the decision on it, just to take that decision. But I think more so with that, it's kind of like what I said about with my PE teacher. If there's something you enjoy, there's a reason you enjoy it. Don't overthink what or how or why you've got there, and you'll get most out of it. So initially, when I was, like I said, I had the opportunities to go travel and then go to university. And so I never thought I'd go to university because I always thought I wasn't academically gifted enough to do it. I always thought that there'd be people who were a lot better than me. And even though I enjoyed it, it wasn't something that perhaps I'd be able to fit in that domain, so to speak. And I overthought that loads. But the fact was that I enjoyed it, and being there, just having that love for something, made it actually very easy for me to do the work and to accept that academic side of things. That I think if I'd come to that decision a lot earlier, or realised that a lot earlier, I probably would have A, gone to university a lot earlier, or B, being able to, like I say, come into this career with a lot less, not doubt, but worries about whether I'm going to be academic enough, or whether I'm going to be up to scratch or something like that. But yeah, I know. I can't really explain that one very well, but I hope that's half decent answer.
I think it sort of is explained pretty well there. It goes back to that, almost what you said before, as you've just said there, kind of, you know, sticking with something because it's something you find gives you sort of enjoyment, that you get value out of, that you maybe get friends from, and all those kind of things. And I think sort of too often we maybe sort of lose sight of that a little bit. We're particularly in this modern world where we've got access to like kind of so many different things, so many different sports, so many different avenues to pursue in terms of career paths and things like that as well. It's probably, you know, it's probably even harder than ever to sort of pick your way through those things.
I think probably a good way of phrasing it for me would be scared of like an imposter syndrome. So even though I'm at university and I'm doing quite well and I'm getting good grades or whatever it was, or when I was coaching and you get good feedback or results, like when I was younger, particularly with personal training, I would worry that maybe I'm not actually very good at this, or what if I'm not? What if they're just being nice to me? Or what if I'm just being lucky? Or what if this is just happening? Like, am I actually good enough to go to university, or am I just for somehow making this up in my head that I'll be all right there? But yeah, so that feeling of, oh, maybe I'm just breezing through this when I shouldn't be, or whatever it is. Maybe it's like this imposter of, am I actually good enough to be here? But yeah, as soon as I manage to relax and be like, no, actually, I just enjoy it, and that's, I will be able to put the work in because I enjoy it, I was like, oh, okay, cool. This is a much less stressful way to approach things.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'll keep going. Cass is going to ask a question now, which I'm hoping might become like a running theme of a question that is asked. And also, I'm hoping, depending what your answer is, might in future episodes sort of spark some sort of debate and potential, not argument, but mild disagreement, let's say.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, we were wondering what your best sporting moment is. So not yours, but your best sporting sort of moment in history, or best athlete of all time.
Big question.
Oh man. Well, best athlete, I'll go out on a limb because I know it's what everyone wants me to do in terms of the world of CrossFit. for the most well-rounded general athleticism, I will go with a guy called Rich Froning, who won the... Arguably, with there's a new guy who would take his mantle probably, but when CrossFit was growing and becoming what it was, I think he won it four or five years in a row. And I mean, coming into a sport and being able to run 5K in 17 minutes and deadlift 240 2 hours later, whilst being able to swim, paddle boards, muscle up, handstand walk, for me, general athleticism, to have the ability to do all of those things, it has to be him, and he makes it look ridiculously easy. Sporting moment, though, I don't know. There's so many. I mean, we've been pretty lucky, I think, what with even the ones that only the ones that I've been alive for, watching, say, Kipchoge, or going back to Dame Kelly Smith, Kelly Holmes, or I'll forget her name, the sprinter who just won the double, Dina Asher-Smith winning a double. If you go back to Mo Farah when he won the double as well at the Olympics, or if you go down the what I think is a good moment for more than just sport, is watching Tyson Fury get back up after he got knocked down in the 11th, was it, by Deontay Wilder. Yeah. I think whether you like him or not, whether you agree with how he used to be, everything he's done around everything outside of just sport itself, and to get back up in that moment was pretty incredible to watch. So moment, I can't give you one. I'm sorry.
I do like the fact you've gone a little bit left field first up though with Rich Froning and Tyson Fury, because I'm not sure many people, or I suppose maybe the CrossFit world, will be coming out with Rich Froning.
Yeah. I remember once reading, and then it pains me that I was reading a men's health magazine, but I was. And they scored people, and they gave Cristiano Ronaldo strength levels of 10. And they gave Rich Froning strength levels of 4. And you can't clearly do not know enough about sport or athleticism if you're giving, no offence to footballers at all, but you probably aren't seeing many of them deadlift 200 plus kilos before going to run a 5K.
Just before we get ourselves in any sort of hot water in episode one of the Welly Sportcast, maybe it's the time to move on before we create too many other arguments. Before we do, Poppy, go on.
Also, I was to say, I won't name sports. That's easier.
Poppy, best athlete or moment in history for you?
Oh, God. I have no idea. It's far too big a question. Oh, you have to come back to me. I don't know.
See, I'll go with someone slightly controversial. That I'm a big believer that I think it was Mr. Henderson who once said to me that people aren't defined by their mistakes. It's how they bounce back and how they sort of recover from them. And therefore, I think Tiger Woods bouncing back to win last year the Masters. I think I'm right in saying that last year. So I'll go with that. I think for this episode, anyway, I might change in a couple of podcast time. Like, just give myself another opportunity. Cass, have you got one?
I mean, as everyone said, there's loads, but the one that pops straight into my head, I don't know if all of you will know, but it's a play from the NBA, and it's in a game 7, so the last game of a final series, and the game is tied, and it's a guy called Kawhi Leonard, and he hits the game-winning shot, but it's possibly one of the most, the shot itself bounces off the rim 3 times before falling in, and like, it's just
a real moment of suspense.
Yeah, it's the one that just wowed me the most, I'd say, from me personally watching sport.
Nice. We've gone from CrossFit to a bit of boxing.
So many, isn't there?
Got a bit of basketball in there. What one more question, I think, is there
Poppy? Yeah. So if you weren't doing what you're doing now, so S&C, what would you be doing, or what would you like to be doing instead?
I guess, I don't know. I can't sit still and sit down, so it wouldn't be something traditional.
But you've got no hamstrings, remember, so it can't be too physical.
I can't move. I think I kind of had to pick between like the creative subjects and sport when I was going for what I wanted to, so like when I chose to go to college in sports performance. So I don't know, sort of like music or graphics. So I do quite a lot of graphic design for the company outside of school and things like that. And that's what I did in my final years of school and that. So I guess something creative, whether it's music or video or some kind of visual art. I'll call it art, but
maybe that should have been another one of the questions, and sort of to sing a song or something like that, maybe.
I'm not gonna sing a song.
Last one from me, and then just a bit of fun to finish with some sort of would you rathers or either ors that Poppy and Cass will go to you with. But one from me, I guess, on a S&C front with Wellington, kind of what do you think the future of S&C for the school is going to be moving forwards once we're free of lockdown and COVID and so on?
I think it's quite exciting. I think the opportunity to almost set something up and roll with it after a situation like we've just had is a really exciting one, because I think there's going to be a lot of eagerness, let's say, to get back in and to get things rolling. And so for me, there's two sorts of sides of it. In terms of a program, if you want to look at it like that, I really, really want the strength and conditioning side of things that becomes part of that identity of sports and performance at Wellington. Yeah, so it's not just, oh, we've got some guys that go to the gym, or, oh, there's a CrossFit guy who does some lifting and stuff like that. That's like the total opposite of what I want it to be. And I see it being part of an all encompassing program of creating and building the best athletes that we, or not building the best athletes, but giving the best opportunities to the great athletes that we already have at the school. So to provide a whole identity through that sports performance program, or however you want to label it, or whatever it is. I really want it to become part of the identity of sport at Wellington. Yeah. But then from the athlete sort of pupil's point of view, I want it to become something that, and I think we've managed to start this a bit more in terms of, again, the kind of the same idea. It's not just, oh, I'm just going to the gym, or I'm just going to lift something, or it's like that. It's that whole approach to all these extra little things that I'm doing will give me the opportunity to be the best player on the pitch or court or field or whatever it was, or on track, and being able to get that buy-in and understanding of what and why we're doing things. So it becomes a whole team approach, as opposed to an S&C coach at the front telling you to do something. So if it can become a big combined effort between all the sports coaches, all the athletes and myself, then I think that provides the best scenario moving forward for strength and conditioning, and to give the best opportunities, and I guess you call it service, to all of the pupils and the athletes that I get the opportunity to work with. I think I'm fortunate to get to work with all these guys.
Nice, cool. Thank you. I'm pretty certain you're right that there'll probably be an eagerness for people to actually get back in a gym at some point, rather than I suspect there's a lot of home gyms which have emerged, and people's back gardens and front rooms which have become their new workout venue, which I suspect people never thought they'd be that keen to get back into the gym environment.
Well, I mean, I've got a rower machine I have to split in half and take out onto my balcony. Luckily I have a balcony, it's the only place I can fit it, but I have to take it out in halves every time I use it, put it together and then take it back in so it doesn't get wet. So
you could actually become my favourite athlete, because I read about a guy who ran a marathon in his back garden that was something like 6 metres long. So yes. maybe could you do that on the balcony? Is that the next, that might be a lockdown challenge?
I did run a half marathon this morning. Yeah, two of the guys in the gym had a bet that we wouldn't be able to do it. We after 3 weeks of lockdown. So I ran one this morning, and it was.
Is there evidence of this? Cassie, you're shaking your head. Is that not for you?
No, I struggled with the 5K challenge going around, and I struggled with that.
Yeah.
So. I'm not going to say it was a sensible idea, and I wouldn't recommend it to any of my athletes who don't normally run, but it was quite interesting in terms of mental side of whether I could actually sit down and grit my teeth through this, but do not recommend it at all.
Terrible. Don't worry, I wasn't considering it, it's fine.
Cool. Between Poppy and Cass, I don't know who's going first, but just a bit of a fun finisher before we say goodbye to Mr. Williamson, to so he can set his row up outside for tomorrow's session or whatever that's going to be.
So I see you were wondering, would you rather weights or cardio?
Oh, weights.
Squats or bench press?
In terms of what I think is the biggest benefit for all of my athletes, but I do love the bench.
100-meter Olympic champion, or I guess you can tailor this to whichever sport you seem most fitting, but we put Premier League football winner, but could be Premiership rugby or anything like that.
Rugby, you get to do it with the boys, or if you're in netball, you get to do it with the girls. There's no better feeling than sharing that with someone. Yeah, 100 metres be incredible, and you get have to get that on your own, but there's nothing better than sharing those moments with 15 or 20 other lads that have been through the same thing, or girls if they're in those squads as well. So, Premiership. I'll take the Premiership.
Would you rather, in any sport, win an Olympic gold or break a world record?
Can I do both at the same time?
No.
Really?
It's all. That's the point.
World record. Literally the best person at that moment in time. In recorded history. Like, you can't... All right, okay, Olympics is on that day, whoever was racing. If you break a world record, that's the... In recorded history, you have the current best in whatever it is. Hands down, world record.
Then we were wondering, would you rather be the star on a not very good team or an average, probably bench player on the best team?
Bench.
On the best.
Bench.
High achiever.
Small fish, big pond.
Right, simple one. Waggers or Nando's?
You're going to hate me.
Can't go Waggers.
Thank you very much. I'll go Nando's.
Half chicken, chips and corn.
I'll support you on that.
Yeah.
Cool boy. I'll take coleslaw as my
Coleslaw.
Controversial, I know.
Would you rather support your sort of childhood team knowing that they're not going to play well for the next few years, or be a glory supporter and switch while you can?
It's got to be childhood. I mean, I'm fortunate that Exeter Chiefs are doing pretty well, so I kind of get away with that. You got to stick with your hometown.
Yeah,
definitely. Am I giving the right answers here to make myself look like I'm not a
just a few more. Summer or winter?
Summer.
Flip-flops or sliders?
Flip-flops, not sliders. Anything but sliders.
I disagree, but we'll carry on.
I agree, flip-flops, defo. Land or sea?
Don't see many swimming events in CrossFit.
No, but North Devon, I love being on the water. Land. See if it's a short amount of time.
Okay, last two then. Cake or pizza?
Pizza.
Cinema or theatre?
Ooh, theatre.
Very cultured, Mr. Williamson.
You like music?
It's the creative side of you coming out, isn't it?
Watch your film at home.
Mr. Williamson, thank you very much for being our inaugural guest on the podcast, and we'll wave goodbye to you at this point in time and just have a little wrap up between myself, Cass and Poppy. But I guess with the current circumstances, it's appropriate to say stay safe, and thank you for sort of being part of the podcast today and for putting together things like the home workouts and for the S&C programs for pupils at home to be able to follow in obviously what's a pretty unusual time at the moment. So thank you.
Perfect. Pleasure. And hopefully my answers make sense and I'm not glory hunting. We'll see, see how they edit it.
The edit's always going to be key. Cool. Thank you. See you later.
Thanks for that.
So just to round things off then, if I kick us off and it maybe gives you guys a bit of time, I thought it was really interesting how he spoke about his background and that he'd played quite a lot of sports as a young athlete. Obviously didn't pan out so well in terms of injuries and things like that. But I suspect most of you guys will have played tons of sports when you were younger and then probably narrowed down to one that you're most passionate about in the lower sixth, upper sixth, and then obviously being supported with the S&C program. I think that's a fairly well trodden path for a lot of people and means that you get an opportunity to experience those wide range of sports. So I thought that was quite an interesting point. Poppy, is there anything in particular, if I come to you first, have you?
Yeah, I think definitely something that I think would be sort of reflecting on your strengths and weaknesses and actually acknowledging where you need to work, but also sort of having the belief in yourself to be able to do something and being open-minded to changing things along the way, not just because you have a set plan. You can, yeah, I definitely think being open-minded and sort of flexible with things. So.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, particularly at a time like this, probably very pertinent as well, given, you know, you've always got to adapt to things that are thrown at you as well. Cass?
Yeah, so I, like Toby, have had quite a few injuries in my last few years at Wellington. And not only has S&C sort of allowed me to stay on the pitch for longer, but also to be more confident in what I can do on the pitch.
Yeah.
And just sort of get myself into more tricky positions almost, which maybe I probably wouldn't have come out on top of a few years ago, but now I'm able to use the skills and other sort of motor skills that I've learned and combine it with a new sort of physical aspect to enhance my game. That's what I've sort of taken away from it.
Cool. Yeah. Nice. Go on, Poppy.
Sorry. Deeper sort of understanding of how you can actually play and sort of really make the most of the time that you have playing your sport or competing or whatever, and really optimizing your ability, I think.
I think that's quite cool and ties in with what Mr. Williamson said, doesn't it? That sort of one of, yes, sort of protecting against injury, but fundamentally trying to make sure that you guys and everyone who's on the S&C program and following a fitness program is able to be on court or pitch or and enjoy their sport to actually be able to take part and sort of avoid those injuries if possible.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, on that note, with the I don't know if you can hear the bell in the background, just to prove that I am in lockdown at Wellington. A little bit of nostalgia there to finish with the bell for people who aren't on site and things like that. But well, let's finish there with our first Welly Sport podcast, which I hope everyone who does listen to it, which we don't know yet if it's going to actually be anybody listening to it, but hopefully somebody listens to it and they've enjoyed it. From me to you guys being involved in the first one, thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you for having us, sir.
Well done, guys. See you later and stay safe. One talking, feeling on a cloud, no off.